She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 310, how to easily hire a virtual assistant to help scale your business and life with Bonnie Fay. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Boleyn, your host, and it is time to do it your way. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. You know what's crazy is I always know where I'm sitting when I'm recording these intros and when I'm conducting the interviews and recording my solo cast, but I don't know exactly where you are at when you're tuning in. But I have to imagine you are maybe working out, you're on the train, you're in your car. I see a lot of you give a shout out via Instagram and you're on your commute, which I absolutely love. And so I actually, though, when I record these, I just imagine you guys all in my den in my apartment in Chicago, and we're hanging out, and I absolutely love it because it makes me feel closer to you. I don't know. Is that weird? I hope it's not weird. I don't think it's weird. Then it's just me, but I'm like, no, all my people are here. So anyway, I digress. If this is your first episode of listening to She Did It Her Way, you then can obviously tell through that little intro that we like to have some fun on the podcast, but also be serious so that we can start taking action on our dreams and launching our business and running our business. So with that, before we dive into today's podcast episode with Bonnie Fay, I do want to give a lovely shout out for this week's review on iTunes, and it is called Noteworthy Literally by Katie Joy B. If you're afraid to take the next step, not sure where to start, or simply want to be the best possible version of yourself, then you are in the right place. Amanda and her awesome guests fill each episode to the brim with motivation and strategies each and every woman can use. Be sure to have a pen and paper ready because you'll want to take notes. Thank you, Katie, so much for leaving that review. Like I've shared with you guys before, I read every single review that comes through here. And having these reviews, honestly, is what also keeps me continuing to go and gives me inspiration because you guys inspire me to continue pushing myself because these reviews are just absolutely incredible and share a little bit behind the scenes of like what it is that you guys are up to and what you are doing in your life. And so I love it. I just want you to know that I am so grateful for the reviews that you guys have left on iTunes. Here we are, mid-December, and over at She Did It Her Way, we are still trucking along. We're making massive changes to Her Way Society. We are opening the doors in January, so make sure you can hop on the wait list if you head to herwaysociety.com. The team and I are working crazy behind the scenes to get everything in order for our January launch and to help set you guys up for success for those members who are part of Her Way Society. It's just been an absolute blast since we launched in June. I've learned so much about running a society and so much more about each individual phase of the journey so that I can better curate and give roadmaps to you based on where you're at in your journey. But stay tuned because there's more to come for that. Now on to today's episode with our guest, Bonnie Fay, who started out as a balloon artist. And in today's episode, she shares her journey on how she inflates her business, no pun intended, transitioned to entrepreneurship, and now helping other business owners scale their business through coaching and online course. In this episode, we're going to talk about Bonnie's humble beginnings, how she got into online marketing, find out what her aha moment was, and discover how hiring her first VA helped with her business. One of my absolute favorites from this interview is when Bonnie said, "As my actions change, my story changes." We change our stories every single day through taking action. Action trumps knowledge every single day because the action is what helps us rewrite the story. So if you want to change your story, you want to change what you're doing in your life right now, you have to change your actions. Coming up next with Bonnie Fay, how to easily hire a virtual assistant to help you scale your business and life. All right. Well, Bonnie Fay, welcome to the show. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you.
I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. Why don't you share with my listeners, we'll kick off like we always do, and I love this, is what is it that you do now? And then let's talk about your journey and unpack some things.
Sure. So right now I sell online courses and I began my journey as a balloon artist.
Okay. Well, definitely help us bridge the gap there, because there's so many questions about, okay, what a balloon artist, how did you get there? And take us through your journey. Just because I think that I love, one of the, my favorite things about the podcast is when guests share their journey, because no journey is the same. And I really do believe that it lends inspiration to my listeners and everyone who's showing up, because then they can see that, oh, this is where the person did, this is what they did before, and here's their journey. And so if they experience it themselves and they're going through it, they don't feel alone. And they're like, oh, okay, like this might be normal.
Sure, sure. So I started as a balloon artist, and I was doing balloons from college up until after college. I really loved it. And then it got to the point where I was like, I need to start making real money with this. And so I knew I had to inflate my balloon business. So I learned about internet marketing, which led me to
inflate your business. No pun intended.
Yeah, I had to expand it. So I learned about internet marketing. That led me a year later to go to a conference, which was called StomperNet 999. It was like an SEO conference. Mm. And at the time, I had just started to transition into being an internet marketing consultant from being a balloon person. And I was so curious, because I ended up hanging out with these amazing VIPs who had thrown the whole conference, and they had private jets and like hotel rooms that were bigger than any apartment I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, wow, these guys are really rolling in cash. And they ended up spending $38,000 on bottle service that one night. And I was like, they must be so good at like everything that I'm trying to do. They must be so good at creating graphics and Facebook ads and videos and all these things. And I asked them how they did it, and they didn't know how to do any of those things. And that's when I had this like light bulb moment where I was like, oh my God, like if they are not even investing in any of these skills and they're just hiring all these things out, that if I want to have the kind of cash that they have, that I need to be doing the things that they're doing and master this skill set of hiring. And that's what learned that led me to basically learning how to outsource and then eventually teaching about outsourcing.
Well, so then talk to us too. So after you have, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, and including myself, have had these moments where we learn something and we're like, wait, what the, that's how they do it? Oh my gosh. And we get this burst of inspiration and we want to take action, but oftentimes we don't know where to take the action or what to do. How did you, what were some of the next steps that you started doing? And give us a timeline. So when did you have that moment when that group of people spent $38,000 on bottle service? When was that?
Okay. So that was in, I think it was 2009, I believe, maybe, or 2010. So somewhere around there. And I went home from that conference. I was so excited. I was making videos of myself being like, Bonnie, you just saw people make $38,000, spend $38,000 on bottle service. Like, you need to do that. And then I was very like amped up, and I was like, okay, I need to hire someone to help me stay accountable to meeting my business goals, because I was not doing that. So I went on to Upwork and I got a virtual assistant to basically babysit me. That was like her job. And it's hard for me to remember like the whole timeline, because my brain doesn't like really work in terms of like what year happened, like what happened next. But like, basically that like planted the seeds for me to learn how to hire this person, Lisa. And Lisa basically babysat me in my business, but she was like a world-class babysitter, because she had basically been like the queen bee over at a Fortune 500 company and had managed multi-million-dollar projects. She was retired. She was like, oh, I love this girl, Bonnie. I'm going to like mentor her and like be her VA. Mm, so nice. She like, yeah, she was amazing. Like she, I could talk a long time about Lisa. We'll keep going. So she systematized all my outsourced workers, right? So I had these people working with me. I wasn't making any money with them because I wasn't creating systems and processes. Within 3 months of working with Lisa, something really crazy happened. I got pneumonia. And so I was sad. And I remember getting my paycheck for that month, or for my main client. And it was for four times as much as I had previously made. And I wasn't doing any work at all. And that was because Lisa had created all these systems and processes with these outsourced workers. And I was like, oh my God, like this is crazy. Like, and that was like another turning point for me where I was like, wow, like this outsourcing thing is something. And I started telling everybody about outsourcing. Basically, that led me to having other people in my life having huge case studies, growing their businesses from 6 to 7 figures. A lot of people I knew started really rapidly growing using the techniques I was using. And I was like, well, I already have all these case studies, so I might as well make a course about this. I already have the hard part done. And so I did. And then that's like the beginning of the journey of where I started working with Russell Brunson. And then we took what was an idea to a multi-six-figure level. And we created this online course. And so that's like how my journey began.
Mm-hmm. Which, massive plug for Russell Brunson. He is amazing. I just love his energy.
He's such a sweetheart. I've coached with him one-on-one, and he's just like a really great person. So high integrity, such a kind, caring person. And I really admire that even more than his marketing prowess, because I think if you don't have both, like, it's hard to really want to be mentored by that person for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you can tell even when you follow him on social media, he's just so genuine, and through his podcast, Marketing Secrets as well. So that's really cool that you had the opportunity to work with him. So fun and like so life-changing, I'm sure. Okay. So to recap the timeline, started as a balloon artist, then you started dabbling and getting into internet marketing, online marketing, had this life-changing experience and this like aha moment of, oh my gosh, like, they basically outsource everything. And so you started doing that into your own job, found Lisa, life-changing Lisa. And then in 3 months, you quadrupled your income. And so you learned it's not about working hard, it's about leveraging the right team. So take us to today in terms of, like, give us the idea of what are you doing day to day? And then I want to dive into some of maybe the false beliefs around hiring a VA, or how do you even do it when you first start out in the business? And what are some of the emotions? What are some of the limiting beliefs that people have? And love to spend some time in there.
Sure. Okay. So I'll start with like what my day to day looks like now. So right now we are relaunching our course, Source It. We are doing well with that, and it's just kind of a matter of rescaling it. And we're also developing this other funnel, which I'm really, really excited about, which is all about teaching people how did I launch, you know, our course at the level that it's at. And so most of my day-to-day is like basically interfacing with my team. I have this amazing writer, Emily, who I love, and I have this amazing virtual assistant, Zoe, who I love. And I've got this team of people in the Philippines who are doing all these things for me, from research to tech stuff to setting up the Facebook ads to, again, a lot of tech stuff that, you know, people on our team don't really understand. And so that's awesome. And then it's just a lot of kind of juggling them and getting this in the right direction is sort of my day to day. It's a lot right now because we're like relaunching. And so I feel like I need to like take a breather a bit. But I feel like there's always seasons, right? Like there's seasons where we work hard and then you put in a lot of effort and then you reap the rewards. And certainly what we're seeing even early on is like what they call the tripwire is like already working. And it's working really, really well. And that's the beginning of our sales funnel. And that's the hard part. And so it's really beautiful. Like I've sold courses for like over $1,000, and that's been cool. But like, I get so excited every time I get like a $17 sale. I'm like, oh my God, my like funnel's working. This is so cool.
Well, I would love for you actually to if you wouldn't mind diving in. Some people listening might be like, what the heck is a tripwire? And what does that even mean? If you could just talk about the overall like high level funnel in terms of like moving people through it so that they get to know, like, and trust you. And when it comes down to potentially purchasing it, finding the right people and making sure that it's a good fit and a good value.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So what's really amazing about funnels is you can create a very low priced offer, like a $7 free plus shipping book, or a $17 download. And what you're trying to do with that is you basically put the most attractive thing that you can offer people. You put that at the very, very front end of the funnel. And you sometimes feel like you're almost giving way too much away with that little thing, but the way this works is it's really important to get that piece down, because if you don't give away something really, really sexy, people aren't going to get that. And then the whole funnel doesn't work. So you kind of lose a little bit on the front end because you're giving too much away for a small amount. So a book or like something that you just feel like is just like way more value than $7 or $17 or $27. And then about like, I guess about 5% up to about 10% of the people who see that are going to say, yes, I want that. And then after that, you can create what they call a little order bump, which is basically a checkbox on the checkout page. And what's interesting is about 40% of people will take that order bump, right? Mm. And so you usually just make it something that's not competitive with what you originally offered, but would complement it really well. So for instance, let's just take it to the girl zone. If you had a nice dress, right, would there be a nice scarf that would go with it? Now, don't sell them another dress. They already got a dress. They're good with the dress, right? Get them a scarf, get them an accessory, right? So in the instance of online marketing, you might say, oh, okay, you just got my 7-day VA course. Do you want some copywriting secrets so that you can write even better copy and like, you know, take things to a whole nother level? And they'd be like, yes, I do actually. And so you put that on there. And that can be something that you sell, you know, maybe for $40, the prices, you know, don't quote me on, but that's the idea. And a lot of people will take that order bump, and then you take them to the next step, which is, hey, so you've already gotten these two things. Do you want the opportunity to get in on something else that would complement those other two things? So you say, oh, okay, I'm going to give you a one-time offer. And this one-time offer could be like something that you might sell for anywhere from, you know, $77 up to $197. And you're going to give them something that would, again, go with those two things. Don't sell them more of the same thing. So in the instance of girl stuff, it would be like, oh, so you've got the dress, you've got the scarf. How about the shoes? You need the shoes, right? Mm-hmm. So you give them this other thing, you give them a one-time offer, and you say, okay, so you've already gotten these things. What can I also give you that would just take this over the top? And so for me, I'm going to offer them something like for $197, and a certain percentage of people will take that as well. And so what's really awesome about this is like when you get this to work, it starts with this small commitment of getting this $7 thing, and it scales up to something that can easily make you $800 a day or $24,000 a month just by segmenting things correctly. Now, it does take skill, but that's like the beauty of like outsourcing is like you can use outsourced workers to do the market research for you to understand where are people in pain, what do people like really, really, really want. And then you have them all highlighted up, you read through it, and then you just put what people want on the page, and then obviously create what they want. So I'm like, just don't just like, you know, say this is what you're getting and it's not true, but then just create what they want.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you. That was very clear cut. I love the example of putting it in terms of buying a dress and then getting a scarf and buying shoes. It made it so easy to visualize that. So I appreciate that. Before we dive into some of the VA tactics, one of the things that came up for me was I'm really curious about how your personal mindset has shifted through the different phases of your business. So from 2009 all the way up until, oh my gosh, nine years later, like how have you personally grown from a mindset and the way that you think about not only your personal life, but also business?
Yeah. So in that time, I've really developed what they call a growth mindset. So for anyone listening, if you haven't heard of a growth mindset, basically what it is it's the mindset of understanding that anything is possible if you start with the idea that you're always growing, you're always building, you're always getting better. So a fixed mindset is basically when you just kind of think like, well, I'm not very good at art, or I'm not very good at singing, or I'm not very good at running, or I'm not very good at exercising. These are just like, this is just the way I am. So what they found is that people who have a fixed mindset are far less likely to be successful in their relationships, in their health, and economically, not surprisingly. Mm-hmm. I had a fixed mindset before I started all this. I would say things like, well, I'm not a very good singer. I'm not very good at I'm not very good at managing people. I'm not very good at, I mean, 1,000 things, literally. We have so many beliefs about ourselves, and our words literally cast spells. And so I've given that up and I've said, you know what, like, I'm always getting better. And if I go to an exercise class and I suck at it, I think, well, I suck today, but I'm going to get better because this is the beginning. So I suck now, but I'm going to get better next time and better next time. And then as my actions change, the story changes and I'm going to become really, really good if I want to.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I love the difference between the fixed and the growth mindset. How has your relationship around the money mindset piece changed and shifted?
I don't think this is going to make me popular, but
give it to us, sister.
I was thinking about this yesterday. I really don't like a lot of the wealth consciousness stuff. I want to tell you that I like it. I don't like it though, because I think that it really hurt me for a long time. When I was really struggling, I was really deep into the wealth consciousness stuff. And I don't...
Can you describe, like, when you say wealth consciousness, what that...
Okay. Yeah. So it's sort of like, it's shades of The Secret. It's shades of getting over your quote unquote money story. It's shades of think it and the money will come. There's a lot of different shades of it. And I do really love the people who teach it. I want to say that I love them. I think they're really cool. But I've found that when you have these ideas that, like, all you need to do is, like, think and manifest about the money, and you're not taking really strategic actions. Like, mm-hmm. I've found that that's kept me broke and sad and hurt. And I found that just taking all that energy that you would be spending in the quote unquote wealth gym, listening to your wealth meditations and all those things would be so much better. Just listen to Russell Brunson's podcast. Go listen to, the types of people who teach funnels. And that's a better use of your time. Go learn the tactics, because the tactics will get you to where you want to go. The wealth consciousness, like, it'll be good for your mindset and it might make you feel good. But if you're spending an hour doing it, like, you could be spending an hour learning about things that are going to actually make you money, and implementing that will just take you so much further.
Yeah. And I would, even to tack onto that too, it's in the doing that you actually realize where the limiting, like, factors are. And where maybe you can expand, because I'm with you in the same sense of sitting and manifesting or waiting doesn't necessarily create. Like you're saying, go out, learn the strategies, the tactics, and even along the way, like, for me personally, it's in the doing that I've been able to observe and see, like, oh, that's where the block's at. Why am I choosing to think about it this way versus, like, what's the way that, example, like, Russell Brunson thinks about it, and where the money is plentiful, like, what is going on in their mindset and how do I learn from them versus maybe just sitting and hoping and wishing and praying. So I totally resonate with you on that for sure.
Yeah. And can I add to what you just said?
Ooh, yeah, go for it.
So I love what you said in saying that, like, it's in the doing that we get the greatest lessons, because what's interesting about the human brain is, like, we're actually really terrible at predicting how we're going to feel about certain things. So barring, like, catastrophes and, like, things that are, like wildly life-changing, like when we win the lottery, we tend to be really happy for, like, 6 months. When we lose a leg, we tend to be really sad for, like, 6 months. Barring those things, we tend to be really bad at predicting how we're going to feel and how we're going to act in certain situations. And so it's only in the doing that you learn that you think that you hate group coaching, but actually you love it. You were just a little bit afraid, and you were afraid of the fear. But once you started doing it, you're like, damn, like, this is, like, awesome. These people seem to worship me. I love this.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that come up, which is just really interesting.
Yeah, no, it's so true. I love it. Love it. Love it. Okay, let's dive into the virtual assistant side of it, talking about some symptoms someone might experience when they need a VA, to, like, how can I afford a hiring team? Like I said, I think there's a lot of limiting beliefs, and not even just in business, but there's, like, a lot of opportunity to outsource things in our own personal life that we as individuals or families don't necessarily need to do. And sometimes we just have to tweak the way we're thinking about it. So let's start with like, what are some symptoms that a business owner or an individual might experience when they need a VA?
Yeah. So number one is like, if you're like never in the present moment. So if you feel like you're always racing, you're overwhelmed. If you feel like you haven't had a vacation without your laptop in a really long time, your body hurts, your self-care is in the toilet. It kind of all comes down to this, which is like a Michael Hyatt quote that I really like. And it's this idea that certainly there are seasons where we're going to work really hard, but if this season has been going on for a really long time and it's just become your reality that you're overworked, that's definitely a sign that you need to hire help, because that's not going to serve you in getting to where you want to go.
If we're not our best self, it's hard to continue moving forward, especially from a health and mental perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about then, how does someone afford to hire a team, and what does that even look like?
So first thing you have to remember is that it's like personal, that this has to do with risk and risk tolerance, and everybody's risk tolerance is different. So I'll start with that. And I would also say that it depends on where you are and who you are. For some people, like if they're really extroverted, they're probably going to want to hire a team sooner, because extroverts thrive in teams. They thrive with other people around them. If you're introverted, you could probably pause a bit more. If your personality is really good at starting things but not so good at finishing things, you are probably going to want to hire a team sooner, because you're going to find you're starting a million projects but you're not finishing them. So you need to hire someone who is obsessed with checking off boxes so they can be like, hey, Bon, we started 5 projects and we haven't finished any. Do you want to finish some of those and then we can maybe do the other 5? And you're like, yes, that's a great idea. Thank you. things like that. So you're going to want to think of those things. And then just like the really rational answer here is, if you're really low on risk tolerance, you can do it based on when your business has hit a plateau. That's the time to scale. So like when you can no longer take on any more clients, that's the time to scale. But I have to say, again, it's all about risk tolerance, because like literally I've hired a salesperson and that's helped us grow so much. And it's because I hate sales. So I think like it's like, well, I hired an additional team member and now we're growing even faster. So I don't know. It's interesting.
Hey friends, I want to give a shout out to today's podcast sponsor, and that is Shopify. Shopify is a leading commerce platform that wants to make sure you're not alone in your entrepreneurial journey. From free training courses to help you get started to their award-winning 24/7 support, Shopify is a true partner to independent business owners around the world, including some of our previous guests on the show like Linda Solly Hurd and Julie Ciardi and others. Shopify has a free training academy to help you build and grow a profitable business. And because you're a She Did It Her Way listener, they are giving you a free 28-day trial. To take advantage, all you have to do is head to www.shopify.com/her way to receive your free 28-day trial. Head to www.shopify.com, that's shopify.com/her way. Offer expires February 28th, 2019.
Mm-hmm. What types of tasks like did you outsource in the beginning stages of your business that you gave to a virtual assistant?
It's hard for me to remember because it's been so long.
Or maybe we'll go to present moment. What are some of the things that you coach your students on? And I would love as well, I guess a second piece or follow-up question or however we want to integrate this is, tell us about an experience of a time that you did bring on a VA that maybe it didn't necessarily work out in a positive manner. And because I would love for you to share that, because I think that is a resistance piece to people hiring other people, is because one, oh, they can't do it as good as me, or two, there's going to be mistakes, and like three, it's going to cause more time, like this whole entire self-fulfilling circle. But I would love for you to share after we talk about some of the tasks that a VA can handle, talk about the experience of maybe when it wasn't such a great experience with hiring a VA.
Sure. Okay. So let's start with what can they handle? So VAs can handle almost anything that's not in person. There's certain things they shouldn't handle. Like typically you aren't going to put them at the forefront of your marketing. You want to be a piece of that. But here's some things they can. They can handle emails. They can handle like sending your autoresponder emails. They can handle managing your inbox. They can handle administrative work like PowerPoints, doing online research, handling your voice messages, maybe making those uncomfortable phone calls that you've been avoiding.
Wait, do you have a story for us on that one?
Oh my God, I totally do. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to mark that on my notes because I want to know this story.
Okay. Just remind me, it has to do with hairstyles and me being passive aggressive.
Okay.
All right. So they can also handle your social media. They can handle setting up your social media, doing the systems. They can create systems for you. So a lot of people think you need to have all your systems in place before you hire a virtual assistant. That's not true. If you hate creating systems, you can actually have the VA create the systems for you. So like, I know for some people, it's super natural to create the systems, but other people hate creating systems. So have the VA create the systems with you so that you don't forever put off hiring a VA because you're not a systems person. You think that creating systems sounds like torture. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Yep.
Cool. So they can hire out your, they can do a lot of your YouTube stuff, your tech stuff. And then in terms of like VA horror stories, I've had a bunch and that's why I get the privilege to teach this stuff. And that's why I feel happy to be able to lend my expertise to other people in my course because I've had really bad VA horror stories where I was like crying and like having ugly tears a bunch of times. And now I get to tell people, hey, just so you know, here's some warning signs that it could be going this way. I've got two interesting ones, but I think I'm going to start with the worst one because I think that would be the juiciest. So, all right. I have to be careful on how I say this, but I don't want anything like further to happen. But like, basically I was, you know, I told you I like had done really, really well with my business and like with our online courses. And I was, I guess, privileged enough to be doing really well financially, but not wise enough to set up the systems to back up my VA. What happened was like I had this virtual assistant that was like generating like $25,000 a month with us in just one of our funnels. Mm-hmm. And he knew all of the back end of those systems. And without getting into the details that might get me into trouble later, I'll just say that relationship ended quickly. And when it did, my business came to a halt and I lost $25,000 a month. Because I didn't have the systems of what he was doing on a day-to-day basis. So now I do believe, right, that the VA can create systems with you, but you need to create a rule in your company that Ryan Dice likes to call the no black boxes principle. Basically what that is there's no black box of knowledge where your VA knows how to run all these different areas of your business, but you have no idea how it works. So you can implement something like a systems Friday where you just take like one day a week and you just document a few things. And it doesn't have to be everything at once, but you just don't want to have a virtual assistant that, you know, has you in a very vulnerable position because they understand everything about how your business runs. And without them, you're going to lose a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good, well, thank you first of all, sharing that. Cause I know that's probably not the most easy thing to share, especially if we're talking about a deep rooted, experience, something like that. So thank you for sharing that. And then, I've definitely been on the side of, a situation where I was hiring something out and I didn't know what was happening for about 5 months. And then it created just a lot of rework for me to go back and do it and to learn it. And it was like, okay, the lesson is for me, like I need to understand what's going on and I can't just tell someone to do it and then close my eyes and know and pray that it's getting done. Right. Like having that insight. And I love how you said the systems Friday check-in to say, okay, what's being built and what do I need to know about it? So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, totally. By the way, I stalked you and I like love everything you have to say about outsourcing and systems. And I'm like, I love this woman like is like me. She says the same thing as I do. Like really
stamp of approval by Bonnie. Yes.
Yeah, totally. You have my approval.
Yes, I love it. And then you said you had another story for us.
Oh, a different story. Okay. So it's funny because you can hire out so many things that are uncomfortable. I used to say very frequently, I don't have any problems in life because I have virtual assistants to handle them for me. And so like I had this wonderful assistant and let's call her Maggie. So Maggie like loved getting on the phone and like arguing with people. Oh, maybe one of the reasons why Maggie is no longer with me, but she was really good at it. And I like had this issue with my hair. Like I was in the Dominican Republic. I didn't speak Spanish and they had like done my hair in a really weird way and it looked really bad. And I really needed them to fix it because I was so embarrassed. And like I was afraid to call the shop because I don't speak Spanish. Maggie did. And I said, Maggie, can you like handle this conflict for me? And Maggie was like so excited. She's like, oh yes, I can. And then she like gave me like play by play. She called them like three times. It was like really hard to get them to budge on like fixing the problem that they caused. And then she was like so excited. She's like, so today here's what happened with the book. I'm like, okay, cool. And then they redid my hair for free and they should have because it was really, really bad.
Oh, Maggie loved that part.
Maggie loved that part. Yeah.
That is insane. I would never have thought of having like outsourcing a phone call or someone to do that conversation thing. I do want to go into one area before we start to go into rapid fire. And that is the piece about, when you hire, like the difference between hiring, VAs who are domestic, and then you have VAs who are overseas. And I know one of the things that you say is that treating domestic workers and overseas workers, or VAs in this case, like they're interchangeable is one of the most common mistakes. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? And then, because I'm actually personally, I have two VAs that are overseas and I'm hiring a VA that is domestic. So selfishly and personally, I would love to know. And for those who are listening, I know that they would be really curious at this as well.
Sure. So VAs overseas are amazing and they can do so many things for you. And you can save between $70 an hour on the high end to maybe just $10 an hour on the low end every single hour worked. So that ends up being crap tons of money, like hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's a really great investment to have virtual assistants overseas. And the difference typically is that VAs who are in the US are always going to feel more familiar because they come from the same culture as you. Mm. And because of that, they're going to quote unquote just get it on certain tasks a bit more. And that's not their fault. Like it's just because they've been raised in a certain culture. So like for instance, with that situation with Maggie, the virtual assistant in the Philippines may not be as good at arguing out that conflict because people in the Philippines are culturally, quote unquote, more polite, according to Gallup. They're also more emotional. And so, and they're also
nicest people. I will say that.
They're very nicest. Sweet. Yeah. And culturally, they're known to be shy. I don't think that that's true of all of them, just as an FYI, but it's like, if you like read like cultural clips about what the Philippines are like, that's what they'll say. It's like, tends to be more of a more respectful culture. And a lot of Filipinos describe themselves as shy. So asking them to do the Maggie task, oof, that wouldn't have worked, you know? And mm-hmm. So certain things like they're not going to do as well with, but you know what they do really, really well? They do systems that are already established really, really well. They like creating yes. systems. They do research really, really well. They can do graphic design really, really well. They can do video editing out the wazoo. They're amazing, amazing video editors. They also can operate your Facebook ads for you if you give them a system around it and you know what you're doing. There's so many ways where you're going to save $10 an hour, $20 an hour, $30 an hour or more just by not having someone who needs to be paid local wages operating the same machines. And so like for so many people, virtual assistants overseas are a great component as part of your business model. People like John Lee Dumas, who's like a top podcaster, I believe he said that his team was two virtual assistants in the Philippines, Kate and him. And I don't really know that they have too many other people. So like amazing things can be done, but you got to have your systems and you got to be putting them on the right tasks.
Yeah. One question that I had before we do move into, One is, so do you, one of the things that I keep hearing lately is about an integrator. Is that, Do you have that on your team? And then how did you know you're ready for the integrator? Because I feel like that's like next level in a business.
So there's this book called Rocket Fuel, which is the origin of the word integrator, which is basically the person who is the complement to the people like me. And I'm going to guess you as well. Yeah. So they in the book Rocket Fuel, they talk about this idea that there's two people. There's the entrepreneur who comes up with all these wonderful ideas, and then there's the integrator who is the person who gets those ideas done. So integrator in like an everyday sense is like really just an operations manager. So if you look at job descriptions for operations managers, usually that's pretty aligned with what an integrator does. They make everything happen. They come to you very nicely and say, hey, Bon, just so you know, like there's no way we're going to get that done in 3 weeks. And you're going to be way over budget if you want to use your flashy ideas. So is that something you really want to do? You know? Or they not so nicely say, we're not doing that.
Nope. So,
and so we're actually rehiring for an integrator right now. And that's something that I feel like my virtual assistants have helped me with. And sometimes like, there's still a deeper level of understanding with like logistics and stuff like that. So sometimes your virtual assistant, can be your integrator, but not all VAs are going to have that skill set. So it's just kind of a mixed batch in that sense. And then how do you know when you're ready? I, again, kind of go back to that first question, is it's all about risk tolerance. And I feel like I can't answer that question for someone else. But one good way to figure this out is like, if like nothing's getting done in your business and you're feeling like you have 10,000 incomplete projects, you definitely need a virtual assistant. And when you get to a certain financial level where things are feeling like steady, then an integrator is a good hire.
Love it. Love it. One last question before we go into rapid fire is, what is something that you're currently working on in terms of like yourself for self-growth and self-development?
In terms of my own self-development, I am always working on myself. So it's a tough question. It feels like I'm always working on every part of myself. Like that's just the core of who I am. So all of me all the time.
All of it. I love it. Never stop growing. Okay. Rapid fire. What is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
Exercise.
Okay. What is your favorite book?
Ooh, I don't remember. Skip it.
Okay. I'm going to say Rocket Fuel because you said that. So we'll just put that one in there. Okay. Okay. Do you have a quote? What's a quote that you live by or a mantra?
If you want to have the things you've never had before, you have to do the things you've never done before.
Love it. And then what is the best $100 or less purchase one can make in their business?
Definitely Asana, because it's mostly free and it'll keep all your stuff organized for you and it'll be so good.
I love Asana. Oh, on that note, awesome. Bonnie, before we close out, is there anything else that you would like to share with my listeners? And please do share with where they can find out more information about you and your business and source it.
Sure. So in terms of something I'd like to sign off with, I would just like to kind of reemphasize what I just said in rapid fire, right? Which is, if you want to have the things you've never had before, you need to do the things you've never done before. And so hiring, taking that first leap to get the first virtual assistant, like pushing yourself in that direction, it never feels easy. And it's because you haven't done it before. Mm-hmm. And when you take that leap, soon it becomes natural. Soon it becomes the difference between looking at your bicycle as a child and being like, that is the scariest thing ever. And I don't know if I'm going to like die on it or fall off or hit my head or break my leg, to, oh, I ride a bicycle all the time and it's easy peasy and it's so much fun. So I want to just encourage your listeners with anything they're struggling with. Just remember that our stories change when our actions change. So give yourself permission to help yourself change those stories by stepping into fear a little know it's always going to be uncomfortable for all of us. And that feeling quickly dissipates as you take action.
I love that quote. That is amazing. Bonnie, can you share with my listeners where they can connect with you online?
For sure. So the best place to connect with me is they can go to bonniefaye.com. So it's F-A-H-Y-B-O-N-N-I-E. So Bonnie Faye. Or they can go over to our 1 hour masterclass, which is over at www.livemoreformula.com. So livemoreformula.com. And that's just a 1 hour masterclass. It's completely free. And it goes through everything we talked about today, but in just so much more depth about how do you find the perfect team? How do you find them for the perfect price and all of those things.
Love it. Awesome. Bonnie, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed our conversation and I know that my listeners are going to get so, so much out of it.
Yeah, this was the best. I had so much fun.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.